Lake Wobegon values and bank regulation, how all 34 banks passed their big test. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. This hasn't happened in the 7 years since the Federal Reserve has been subjecting big banks to stress testing. All 34 have now passed the test, like a town where all the kids are above average. By this measure, all are appropriately ready with resources that should allow them to endure the next financial crisis. J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Bank of America, and the rest now have new ammunition to argue that the system is now so healthy that less regulation would be in order. A stress-free Diane Swong, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago, has been reviewing the results of the stress test. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
All right, so the 34 banks in question here who have faced the ordeal of the stress test would say it's graduation day. They've done very well. It's time to move on, right?
They certainly feel that, and they have gone through an ordeal. Let me tell you, those stress tests are difficult, and hopefully they'll ease up a little bit, especially for some of the smaller banks. But yes, they now are looking pretty good according to the Federal Reserve.
Even Janet Yellen, the Federal Reserve chief, thinks our banking system is strong enough to be able to pronounce that we don't see another financial crisis looming.
Yeah, famous last words. I think the world of Chair Yellen, and I know that she's looking very closely at the banking system. They're looking for systemic risk. But let's face it, where did the problems originate last time around? They originated in the shadows, what we call the shadow banking system. And now it's growing very rapidly in ways that the Fed has no control over. Millennials want to get all their banking done with the push of a button on their smartphone, and they're getting it. And the banking system is adopting a lot of those technologies, but they're also having to compete with them. And that's where we worry down the road. So I never say never when it comes to financial crises. Hopefully one not the size of what we've seen, but let's face it, we've had a lot in my lifetime.
We tested the 34 biggies, but your point is we don't test a lot of this other stuff, where you can borrow outside of these 34 big banks, where you can press a button on your phone and you can get a mortgage.
Exactly. And in fact, that's where a lot of the lending is going. One of the reasons that Mortgage Bankers Association, their applications for mortgages aren't the best indicator anymore of what home sales are is because people are borrowing outside of that traditional system that extend beyond the Federal Reserve's reach. And that's what we worry about going forward.
Now, something that does happen right away, I would say, is that if you hold stock in some of these big banks, given the fact that these stress tests have been so successful from the point of view of the banks, you probably see some higher dividends. The banks will share more of those profits.
And that's certainly something that's keeping the financial market extremely buoyant. And that's despite the fact that we're not going to get the deregulation that was promised many people bet on at the turn of the election. But there is a slight loosening on the edges from the Fed itself. And that, along with a more profitable economy for the banks, is going to return to investors. The problem is, it looks like some of these valuations are already pretty frothy.
Diane Swong, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, it's the law that there's a limit to how much the federal government can borrow. Today, the Congressional Budget Office reports on how we're doing with that debt ceiling, even as the Treasury Department uses extra clever accounting strategies to keep the borrowing from bumping into the limit. At some point, there could be a reckoning, as Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
In order to keep the government up and running, the Treasury Department uses extraordinary measures, basically accounting tricks, to keep paying the bills. Legal accounting tricks.
They're a little bit of a shell game where the government moves obligations and debt around so that it doesn't count towards the debt ceiling at that time.
That's Jason Jones, an economics professor at Furman University. He says at some point, the government will run out of wiggle room, but there's no exact pinpointing when.
The government is dealing with trillions of dollars, money coming in, money coming out.
Maya McGinnis is the president of the Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget.
And timing the amount of money that comes in on any certain day is virtually impossible.
Best guess is the Treasury will run out of cash sometime in the fall. That is, if Congress doesn't act, if it gets too bogged down in the politics. The government then would have to delay payments and or default on its debt. Not good. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Nike reports profits after the markets closed today. With a brand that powerful, I don't think I need to mention what Nike does for a living, but it is looking to reduce its reliance on retail stores in favor of selling shoes, shorts, and shirts directly to consumers. Marketplace's Aaron Schrenk reports.
Retail bankruptcies and store closures have hurt Nike's already sluggish sales. Wedbush analyst Christopher Spezia says Nike wants fewer middlemen.
It's just a laundry list of retailers that are closing space. This is just Nike trying to control a little bit more of their own destiny.
Nike is slashing 2% of its workforce and will focus on selling through its own website and Nike stores. Plus, Goldman Sachs reports Nike will soon sell directly on Amazon. Spezia says right now you can buy their products there, but not from Nike itself.
You have third-party resellers selling a substantial amount of Nike product with no pricing integrity.
A pair of Nike VaporMax running shoes costs $190 in stores. Average price on Amazon, about $300. Andrew Burns at D.A. Davidson says, look at Under Armour, Adidas, Lululemon. All have direct-to-consumer strategies.
And it's one of the fastest-growing components of their business.
Who loses? Maybe Foot Locker, Finish Line, and Dick's Sporting Goods. They saw shares tumble on news that Nike wants to just do it itself. I'm Aaron Schrenk for Marketplace.
And here's why it's time to make a souffle, a frittata, zabaglione, shakshuka. You see the common element, the egg. Egg prices are way down and falling further because of an oversupply. U.S. producers and their chickens ramped up production after the bird flu outbreak in 2015. And now there's a lot of cheap inputs for quiche or tamago. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.